Host tonight is Hibbing Community College, offering more than 20 career programs, liberal art degrees that transfer to four-year institutions and convenient online courses. More at www.hibbing.edu. The Great Northern Radio Show is brought to you by the Iron Mining Association. From paperclips to ships, iron ore is a key element used to produce almost everything we use daily. If it wasn't grown, it probably was mined. More at taconite.org. This is all a good reminder. Oh. That's actually not a laugh line, but all right. This is a good reminder that we're broadcasting from a region shaped to its core by iron mining. Nowhere is the mining history of the range more profound than at the Sudan Underground Mine. Forging deep beneath terra firma tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we introduce the Great Northern Radio Players for the premiere of an original radio drama, The Terror Below.
For the last 30 years, the Sudan Underground Lab has been the site of a multi-million dollar particle physics laboratory set 2,341 feet beneath the surface of the earth in an abandoned iron mine. Now, one of its creators has been summoned to the lab by a mysterious, desperate phone call. We return now to Gustav Lundqvist, particle physicist.
It was past midnight, and so cold that I almost expected to see the effects of the Bose-Einstein condensate. I was here because of a phone call from a Finn. A man who had served nicely for a demonstration for my students, one involving projectile motion.
Lundqvist! Hey, Lundqvist! You just get out of the sauna or what? It's 245 Kelvin out there. Get inside here before I gotta dig your blue Swedish butt out of the snowbank.
And there he is, Dr. Juha Juutila, the theoretical physicist who stole the girl who stole my heart and published a thesis regarding probable electron amplitudes in the same week. I don't know which one makes me hate him more.
It's been, 10 years now. You haven't changed much. You still got a face like a quasar. Say, what are you doing nowadays?
I teach at Hibbing Community College.
Harvard on the highway, huh?
What did you bring me here for, Juutila?
Well, you heard about the fire, ain't ya?
I heard there were some sparks giving off, a little steam, something like that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one, too. But see, there was no fire.
What do you mean?
Well, about 3 days ago, we found a secret 28th level on the mine. You know, the kind that's not supposed to be there. Well, we poked around it a little bit, but it smelled really bad, so we got Jimmy to go down and take a look.
Who's Jimmy?
Our intern. Who do you think? It's not like we're gonna send a PhD down there. Well, he wasn't gone very long when the whole place started shaking, and there is this roaring sound like it comes straight out of hell. How the lights start flickering, and, well, we all bolted up that shaft before the whole thing come down on us. We reckon some sort of creature is living down there.
My God, what do you think it is?
Well, no one got a good look at it. Why? We didn't even realize Jimmy wasn't missing until we got back to the surface.
You left him down there?
You know, he's a pretty scrawny kid. Kind of hard to see. And they only hired him to work on the Twitter.
What's the Twitter?
Twitter, yeah. I think it's some sort of top secret project. Must be high profile in the government. Got some congressman fired, I think. Personally, though, I look at it as a big bunch of junk.
That poor boy. I can't believe that...
Goose, she ain't the only one that got left behind. She's down there, too.
You don't mean...
Yes, it's her, Goose. Naomi.
Naomi. Naomi Marks, the particle physicist whose dark matter produces a steady electromagnetic pulse in my heart. Whenever I'd think of her, I'd go to my lab and write all of the equations of the universe. I could spend all night equating, solving, but the only significant digits I could think about were hers. 969 lust. I'd wake up high from cheap marker fumes with her name still on my mind, Naomi. And I knew that no matter how far away she might be, I would have to save her.
We know she's okay. That Jimmy, he's sending us all kinds of things through Skype.
Skype? What's that?
I'm not sure. I got it on my iPhone, but I'll be darned if I know how it works. You use it like a telephone, only you can see if the other person's got zits.
Skype. That sounds like the noise a dog would make if you stepped on him.
Yeah, we've been tracking him too on something called Foursquare. Look here. Jimmy just became mayor of the rescue room. Hey, you don't suppose he's attempting to set up a society down there where he's some sort of dictator, do you?
I've got no idea, Utila. Twenty minutes later, we were dropping down into the mine in the same cage that carried iron miners down for decades. It lurched and bucked and shook. Frankly, I did not need another reminder that gravity existed. We stepped out on the 27th level and cracked on our flashlights. I turned to Yuha and said, "Have you always had elevator muzak playing in the cage?"
Mita?
I want to know about the muzak.
What? My ears are plugged. You know you don't go down 2,300 feet without experiencing a sudden change in air pressure.
Really? You're a curmudgeonly old coot who couldn't verify the hypothesis of a first grade science project.
Ah!
What is that smell? Oh, it's like rotting cabbage. Oofta. What did you eat for lunch today, Utila? It's the creature! Come on, you old fat fin! Run!
Hey,
run!
I'm not so fat!
We bolted down the long tunnel as fast as two old, vaguely ethnic scientists could go, tripping on minecart tracks, trying to swat bats out of our faces, and then something in Utila's pocket hit his iPhone, triggering the sound of the Finnish national anthem. And then we saw it, the rescue room. We thrust our bodies into the door, slammed it shut behind us. Something slapped wetly against the door, and we fell back, exhausted.
Oh, thank God you're here. Jimmy, turn up the lights.
And there she was, her hair black as the coffee that sat overnight in our lab. Rich, thick, silky to the touch. Her skin was as white as the board in my office. Her eyes, an equation that had no solution. She wore a lab coat so tight you could read the temperature on the thermometer in her pocket. 99.9 degrees Fahrenheit. Normal for her, too hot for the rest of us. And before I knew it, she had thrown herself into my arms.
Dr. Lundquist, it's so good to see you. I don't know what we'd have done.
Did you get a good look at it, Nahomi? What kind of critter is it?
I'm not sure, Dr. Utila. Every time we tried to look at it, we smelled something terrible. Like bad sauerkraut casserole. We were afraid it was toxic.
Is Jimmy down here?
Right here, Dr. Lundquist.
Listen, kid, we've got to get out of here. Do you know of another way out?
Oh, sure. I could pull it up on Google Maps and get directions. Maybe just take a look at some Yelp reviews.
I thought you were with Yuha, Naomi. Isn't that the case?
I loved Yuha. That's true. But all he ever did was work with dark matter and hang around with wimps.
Wimps?
Weakly interacting massive particles. Yuha was trying to detect them so he could win a Nobel Prize. But I needed more than neutrinos and dark matter. I needed excitement in my life. So I went to Switzerland.
What have they got there?
The Large Hadron Collider. It's the largest there is. All that smashing, crashing, exploding. I spend my nights there, poring over the data, rolling in it. Sometimes I press the papers against my body. Oh, there's nothing like a warm, fresh printout of the possible proof of the Higgs boson pressed against your chest.
What I wouldn't give to be a boson on her bosom.
Hey, everyone, I think I found a way out.
Jimmy took us out of the rescue room, deeper into the mine. Naomi stuck close to me, and Jimmy started trying to explain to Utila about the Twitter.
Wait a minute. Well, but what's this business about hashtags? Take some kind of potato? And why is it only letting me type 140 letters? You know, spaces ought to count too.
Well, it's sort of like Facebook status, Dr. Utila. You just put a short message on somebody's wall so they can see it.
Wall? What wall? Now I gotta buy a wall? Do you know how expensive
sheetrock is? I let them argue. I had more important things to worry about. Naomi, I remember when I first met you. You were dissecting a cat.
A calico tabby. I remember it well.
Why didn't anything ever happen between us? We were such a good match. You, a teacher. Me, an experimental physicist.
Oh, Gustav, back then I wanted church suppers and casseroles and a little cabin on the lake. It seemed like it would be such a nice life.
Oh, hey, hurry! We're not far now! Come on!
I'm going to get so many hits on my blog!
The smell got stronger. It was rank, putrid, and I found myself cursing the ideal gas laws that gave it form. We could see the shaft in the distance, and then the monster came into view. It was perched near the cage, a rolling mass of tendrils shaking around its body, a plump stomach that rolled and twisted beneath massive leaves of cabbage. Brussels sprout fingers reached into the air, separated, squeezed against a rock, and ripped a hunk of it from the wall.
What is it?
I guess the genus Massodicapria, but some sort of flora.
No! I know what that is!
It's a sarma.
You can't mean the Slovenian delicacy.
Look at it! Smell it! I bet when this mine closed 50 years ago, somebody must have left their lunch lying around, and it's been sitting there on the 28th level ever since.
Of course. And this whole cavern has been pelted with trillions of neutrinos and cosmic rays for years. It must be some sort of freakish mutation, a cruel cuisine, hell-bent on killing us all.
Yeah. And from the smell of it, there's gotta be a bit of that lutefisk mixed in, too. Oh, that sucker's a mean one.
But that can't be right. Neutrinos are much too small to interact with normal matter, on even the rarest occasions. And besides...
To our horror, the monster lashed a single leafy tentacle around Naomi's waist, dragging her backwards down the mine shaft. We raced forward, shouting, and a whole load of bats exploded out of nowhere, pelting us with their wings.
Haul her up! Bring her up! Up!
You grabbed me just in time, Gustav. I never knew mutated casseroles could be so vicious.
Yes. Sarmas. I hate sarmas.
I got it on my flip cam. Oh boy, I've always wanted to be a YouTube sensation. Maybe I'll be...
It should just be short time now till we're all...
Then the whole car shook, and a furious claw of curdled ham swiped at our legs. I shoved Naomi against the wall as the creature yanked itself into the car. It reached for me. I snatched the tentacle, and Naomi did the same, stretching it out from one wall to the next. Utila ran to the creature, grabbed it by the head, and tugged it back. It stretched, tightened, and then obeyed a rather direct law of physics. With a shriek of rage, the sarma slingshotted through the air, out the open doors, and suddenly all of that cabbage, carrots, and lettuce became coleslaw. The creamy kind.
It feels so nice to be outside again. Free at last. Jimmy, where are you going?
Well, I gotta start posting, Dr. Marks. Gosh, maybe I'll get on Tosh.0.
Yeah, I think I'll go with him, too. Oh, those sarmas, they really pack a punch, eh, Jimmy?
Oh, you're telling you me.
Naomi.
Yes, Gustav?
I love you. I've always loved you. Get out of Switzerland. Come back with me. We can both teach at HCC. Think of it. Enriching young minds, spreading the seeds of future generations.
I'm sorry, Gustav, I can't. Sometimes when kinetic energy has been expended, the work needed to recover that energy is improbable in a human lifetime. I'm sorry, it's a law. We'll always have Sudan.
Come back again next time for more adventures of Gustav Lundquist, particle physicist.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Northern Radio players.